So it is really nice to see all of these people here who love poetry, because I posted on Facebook this afternoon, "Hey, Pittsburgh friends, I'm reading at Hemingway's tonight at 8. Stop by." And my sister-in-law quickly posted back, "Aloud?" So, I'm going to read four poems, and I chose poems that relate to travel, because this is the time of year, typically, my husband and I travel, and this year we're not, so I was feeling a little nostalgic. And the first poem is, last year at this time, we went to Spain. We went back to be with my college friends, both Spaniards and one American girl who I had roomed with there. And this poem was workshopped by Squirrel Hill about a month ago. So I thought it would be nice for them to hear what happened to it. It's called Time and Space. My friend from the University of Madrid days says time and space are all that matter, and space doesn't matter all that much. He is Spanish. For me, an American traveling back to Spain after 40 years, space does matter, but time matters more. I think about all the time I wasted in Madrid back then. We would sit in cafes for hours, drinking wine, telling stories, writing poems. Back with my old friends, I realized the exact same thing is happening again. We're not doing much, and the space we're doing it in hasn't changed all that much. One night, we're even in the cafe we used to haunt, drinking, telling, writing, and we're not wasting anything. The second one, a few years ago during this May trip time, my husband and I decided to drive across the country in a rental car to see our daughter in Los Angeles and to try to squeeze in as many national parks as we could on the way. And this poem is called Real Lives. We come together when I'm not teaching, when he's not selling, when it's date night, when it's time for bed. We are married in routine. But for 12 days now, we've been jammed together in a rented Toyota Corolla we've nicknamed Silverback. We're driving from Pittsburgh to LA. He drives, I navigate. We try to find little spots to eat, recommendations from Road Food Guide. We try to keep conversation going, but how much more can we say about cornfields or buffalo? We squeeze in 5 national parks, squeeze into the car for another 400-mile drive day. We squeeze our spread-out lives into all this togetherness. This next one, I wrote when we traveled to Shanghai, and I thought I wanted to write about the Jade Buddha Temple there, but it turned into something else. At the Jade Buddha Temple in Shanghai, red silk streamers billow from trees, carry the wishes of the faithful. Incense burns in the courtyard braziers. Monks wander the serpentine corridors. Each room holds Buddha in a different form, with 24 arms, as a girl reclining, a warrior surrounded by warriors. I buy an extra 10 yuan ticket to see the gleaming jade Buddha, to watch the pregnant women all in white pay to have oil poured over his jade head, pay to receive the blessing. They must be praying for sons. As I prayed for you, Michael, for the birth of my son, and as I have prayed for a way back into your heart, a way to understand, I stand on the second floor balcony, look down on the faithful waving torches of incense, wonder if I should write your name in gold on a red streamer, then pray to hear you through your silence, set you free on the wind in the branches. And when thinking about a final poem to read tonight, I thought about what happens when we don't travel. the trips we don't take, the times that we might be the ones who stay home. And the poem I'm going to read is about that. My husband and I have been watching on TV this show about Troy and the fall of Troy. And so, you know, Ulysses got all the great stuff, all the fame, the travel, all of that. And then, of course, James Joyce made it even more famous in a one-day travel. But this poem is about Ulysses' wife, Penelope. And this final poem is called Penelope's Web. Back in the Kashmir life, Penelope hides behind a veil. Ulysses asks the king, "Will you give me your daughter for my wife?" She starts her weaving with Ulysses' eyelashes, making shadows on his cheeks. She goes with him, then she stays. She stays behind when less than a year later he leaves for the Trojan War, risk years. She stays and weaves eyelashes. The summer Sunday, they are in the sea wearing nothing but water. The heat where his body stops, hers begins. His voice dropping gentle at night, his dark hand on her spine. She weaves from memory. Her memories are a spider web around her heart. She cannot break free. Each year when snow is melting and green is shining through, new suitors beg her to remarry, to forget the man who must surely be dead. Penelope knows she will be trapped in now or trapped in then, knows that her weaving keeps Ulysses alive, alive enough so that when she reaches for him on rainy March evenings, he is tucked away complete, not one part of him lost. She almost loses everything, for she promises to take a new lover when her weaving is complete, but she outwits them all. By night unravels every stitch of her web, as if to say, this is enough, this waiting, this doing and redoing, this mystery, this taking shape and growing, this coming apart. Thank you.